Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Saturday, or Sunday, my bad, everyone. Hope everybody's had a great week, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm, as always, Jason Ophir, here with the talented and beautiful Sherry Pang. Sherry.
Hey, how's it going, Jason?
It's going fairly well. I almost got my days mixed up. I wish it was Saturday.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Wow. It's gone by really fast, isn't it?
Yeah, my brain's a little bit confused because I normally don't work the weekends, and I worked this Saturday, so that's why I'm confused, because normally I have 2 days off, and I only have 1 day off, unfortunately, or a weekend
day
off.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Just so you got to work 6 days in a row?
Well, no, I had Wednesday off, but it doesn't really count. I don't like working weekdays, and I'm on this weird six-week rotation, so every 6 weeks I have to work a Saturday, and it throws my relaxation off a lot. But I did get out today, and we are having some beautiful weather up here in Oregon in the 70s and partly cloudy, and I actually took a little bit of a road trip and drove about 120 miles to a kind of an old school pioneer graveyard and checked out some of the headstones from the early to mid 1800s, which is always very interesting. I didn't see anything paranormal out there, but that's what my day consisted of.
Wow, that's wonderful. Did you take any pictures other than what I saw of your profile? I mean, that was a good picture. If you check out Paranormal Horizons, I posted an excellent picture of you, Jason. So, yeah, check it out.
Awesome. Yeah, it didn't take a whole lot of pictures. It's out in the middle of nowhere on these rolling hills. And, you know, you walk into some cemeteries and they have a spooky vibe to them. There's just such a peaceful, I guess you would say, energy to the place. It's not spooky at all. Now, maybe it would be different at night, but I don't think so. It just has a really good vibe to it, and I don't know a whole lot of the history of it. I believe it's for, like, Freemasons or Odd Fellows or something like that, but it's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, like you said, it's peaceful, isn't it? Wow, that's cool. Yeah, I've been to some cemeteries where you get some weird, you know, weird things or, you know, like I've had the feeling of being followed and, you know, it's just interesting how each one is so different, the flavor is.
Yeah, and one of the things that I did notice, you know, when looking at the headstones, is that people back in the olden days, and I guess when I say olden days, I mean 1800s and, you know, early 1900s, they seemed to die either really young or lived a long time. It's, you know, we saw gravestones of, you know, a one-year-old, but a lot of children died. And it seemed like if you had survived childhood back in those days, you tended to live a rather long life because we were seeing, you know, people in their 70s and 80s back, you know, that died in the 20s and 30s. So very interesting stuff.
Wow, that's crazy. I think that, you know, health as far as food and everything, just people didn't have a way of keeping healthy and the stress and there's a lot of different factors why kids, you know, at those times, you know, they didn't have health care like they do now. So, you know, they just were able to just try to, you know, I don't know. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah, so it was nice to get out. So what do we got lined up tonight?
Well, I don't know if he's called in yet, but his name
is
Walt Christo, Christos, and he had a book called The Thoughts of Christos, and we've had him on the show before. He's a metaphysician. He's a doctor in metaphysics, and we're going to just kind of play it by ear and see where we're going to go through, you know, go into, but he's very well versed in the metaphysical, the supernatural, and the paranormal. So I don't know if he's called in, but if he is, let's bring him on.
Yep, he's in here. We'll bring him on right now.
Okay.
Well, if you can hear me, I'm here.
I can hear you
loud and clear. Welcome back, Walt.
Well,
thank you
for having me. I'm a little tired, actually. It's late here in Virginia, but glad to be here.
Good.
Awesome.
Is it really hot out there in your direction?
Yes, today it was. We've been really balmy and nice, almost an Indian winter for the past week, which has been very unusual for June, but very nice. But today we got all hot for the people who want to go out swimming and catch some of the sunshine on their weekends. So.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know about you, but I hate hot weather. I am accustomed and enjoy air conditioning. If it's hot, I'm just like, no thanks.
If I can make it to the beach, then then sunshine is great. but I can't really do it that easily here because I am inland. So I agree with you. I have friends that do a lot of roofing work. And that's baking when they're out there on the hot shingles because the shingles are asphalt and they generate heat. And so you're between the sun. It really is an oven. But today was a Sunday and most everybody had the day off. They didn't have to work on Saturday.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit there on a roof and cook. It's. I think I have an aversion to it.
You acclimate. I did it for a number of years with them. I started my roofing career when I was like 57 or 58 years old, which is a bit absurd to start scampering around on roofs. But, you know, I can tell you it's a lot better when it's cold weather, all right? Because once you get working, you warm up.
That's kind of late to start roofing. I used to have to work outdoors, and it's fine during the winter, but during the summer, no thanks. So we're just kind of going to go with the flow and just talk some paranormal. I don't even know. Where should we start?
I thought maybe we would toss in spirit, because I call myself a spiritualist. And Sherry is a medium, and you yourself have an interest in spirits or ghosts, the graveyards, and you can see things sometimes out of the corner of your eye. So for all of us, though we're coming from different perspectives, I thought maybe spirit would be a good thing, because I thought, you know, you guys get to sit back and talk to a lot of people who are well-versed in many different aspects of the paranormal. But essentially, you're having a radio show is your educational process, because you are the one who are, or you are the ones who are connecting with all these different people. So I thought maybe it'd be an idea to pick your brains. All right, so I was going to ask Sherry, as a medium, all right, are you connecting psychically with your mind, or say with your spirit, with human dead? Do you do that?
That is a question.
That is a question.
Am I communicating psychically? How do I answer that question? I am clairvoyant, so I can see when I open up that door. Like right now, I'm not open, okay? But
that's
when I open
fine.
Up
it's
that
fine.
Door through the will of mine and discipline through time, long time, I can see people, I can hear them, and I feel their emotions.
So
I don't know how to answer that question,
empathic.
But I do see through my third eye. And I can see their color, their eyes, their hair, how they're dressed, those kind of things. I'm also a psychic, too. So that's a different realm. Being a psychic medium, as they say, all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are medium. And that is so true. Being a psychic, per se, I can see when I look at your energy, hear your energy through your voice or anything else, I just even the words as you type, I can feel about your energy, your soul, of where you've been, where you are now, and perhaps also the future.
So you're talking, or you're connecting with living people. Do you connect
when I do the psychic work, yes. When I do the
You connect with human dead?
I connect with the human dead.
Do you have to, okay. When you connect.
I see dead people I see them, and they're all around, and they always want to bring forth messages of hope and closure and comfort and healing to those that are alive.
So you're connecting, first of all, with human spirits in general that live in proximity to the realm of the living. Do you connect then specifically, do you use another living human being to connect with the spirits that that human being wishes to communicate with?
No.
In other words, if I was a client, which I'm, and I came to you and I said, I would like to speak with a friend of mine who has passed on, or with a relative of mine who has passed on, is that something that you might be able to do?
Yes.
All right.
But I don't go
do
through
you. Think,
I go through the spirit, directly to the spirit. Get to that spirit. Go directly to that
right.
spirit.
All right. So you don't need the human
no.
interface. You're
no.
a one-to-one. All
no.
right. I'm much the same. All right. But I connect with non-human spirits as well as with human spirits. And I connect with what I just call other life forms as a shaman. All right, I connect with many realms. All right. Many people seem to focus on going to a place that is haunted. And a lot of those are perhaps what is called residual, which is more of a recording that just replays itself. And so that's not necessarily something that's alive or sentient. But some places have spirits that do seem to live there. And often the living humans seem to wish to help these spirits to pass on. And yet I have an impression from some that I have interacted with that they are quite content living where they are. Whether that's, say, a neutral, what I would call a neutral dharmic realm or a realm that overlaps with ours, you know. But I believe, would you say you connect with spirits who are living among the living and with spirits who are living in realms with other spirits where there are not living humans?
I think so. I think
I'm trying to phrase my words so carefully just to communicate.
Yeah, try not to get too complicated, right?
Yeah, I'm tiptoeing.
Yeah. So when a client comes to see me, what I do is whoever comes forward and needs a message, the strongest spirit comes. whether I see them, hear them, feel them, and it's all integrated, and they just give me messages, and I just download, and just I open my mouth and repeat. I'm just the medium. I'm just the person that can able to have the
connect.
Ability to be able to transfer the
yeah.
information to the client.
I like using the word connection. I look at as a metaphysician, and I go into this a lot in the book you mentioned the thought of Christos, that a lot of life is about connections and relationships, right? And everything that we interact with in life is a relationship, and our bond with that thing is our connection. So you are making connections, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. Just I try to go with real generic language.
You guys are a lot more interesting than I am. I'm not connecting with anything. My connections
You're
are
connecting
turned off.
With,
I'm
you
like,
are connect. No, that's not true. You are connecting with everything. But a lot of what you're doing is with your mind, I think.
Yeah,
you're well grounded, okay? And that's not bad, because a lot of people who get into exploring the paranormal can hit a point where they are ungrounded, and their interest or interaction with the paranormal can be harmful to their well-being in the real world. A lot of people assume everything is fake, and therefore they can do anything, say anything, and it just doesn't matter. But there is a lot that is actually real out there. And so some respect is prudent.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the skeptical side, but I've said it many times before that I wouldn't go playing with things, even though I'm a skeptical, because I don't want, you know, I could be wrong, and I don't need to open any doors that could cause me any kind of physical, psychological, or spiritual damage, just in case, you know, there's something that's out there.
Yeah. Sherry, have you connected with non-human spirits?
I don't think so, and that's probably why I don't like going into the paranormal field as far as investigations. I think it's more for fear and lack of experience and being, you know, I'm kind of like a, you know, like a Teresa Caputo in a sense that I just want to be able to help people in God's white light. And that's where my heart and my passion is at. I don't want to seek something that is, I'm curious, but I don't want to go and seek after it. I find that after, you know, just being a medium or being a psychic medium, there is always a balance of yin and yang, and there's always a dark side to everything if you
Well, there's the potential.
Exactly.
You don't have to actualize it. It's anyone who's capable of being a healer can flip it and cause harm. You know,
yeah.
I myself, as a shaman, do weather in the neither here nor there, and I've sought to be protective and have been for decades, and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But that kind of an ability can also be used to cause harm. It's a choice. And, you know, as far as that goes, as far as choices go, I heard something the other day that I really liked. It started off with a meme of someone saying, you know, you complain that I'm a monster, but you never complain about the people that made me into a monster. And then there was another meme that said one twin brother had an alcoholic father, and he became an alcoholic. And when asked why he became an alcoholic, he said he became an alcoholic because his father drank. And yet his brother, who had the same alcoholic father, never drank. And he was asked, well, why don't you drink? And he said, because I had an alcoholic father. And so what it comes down to is the choice is yours. If you've been subjected to a lot of negatives, you can say, let it end with me. And you can choose to live in decent ways, okay? So it's the same thing with what you were saying, where there can be a dark side or a positive side. It's true, but people have the choice.
choices,
right.
Exactly. And I all choose
right,
not
so.
To delve into, you know, just the other things that I'm not comfortable with, and I want to just help people. To me, it's just different. I'm not saying that dipping into the and I think you're really interested in doing paranormal investigation. That is wonderful because you're helping people. They cannot resolve in their own way or have the ability or whatever to bring a team in,
yeah.
And that's, each team is so different. I imagine just, you know, each team is like a family. Each kind of like
yeah.
a family, and so you just hope that, you know, they're helping you and bringing some healing and closure and, you know, to whatever
well,
activities
from what
are,
you're
that are
from what
in
you're
the
saying,
so.
I would guess that you deal a lot with pain of separation. Do you think that pain of separation? I guess. Does it exist on both sides? I mean,
I think that, it is. Oh,
with people that
right.
I've lost, you know, at what point do the ones that you love who have passed on, at what point did they go on with their lives? I mean, if you're going to live another 40 or 50 years, you know, they might think that they could have something else to do.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. And I know that the living have the same issue with pain of separation. So I guess that's something you get to deal with a little bit. And to some degree, being able to communicate can help to heal that pain. It ends the separation to some degree.
Yes. And I think, I can say this, with my personal experience with my own family, I lost, you know, my mom and my dad, my stepdad. I lost my ex-husband. You know, I mean, the most important people in my life before I was even 40 years old, I was thinking it was like, 40 or 35, between 35 and 40. So, you know, I mean, that young, it's like, wow, you're living, you know, you're all by yourself, and, you know, you're the only family I have biologically is my children. So,
yeah.
You know, having those kind of deaths and that early of an age, a loss, it's really helped me to help others because I know how it feels to have, you know, your loved ones that, you know, die, whether they die suddenly or they die,
yeah.
You know, slowly. So it's just
Either way is its own, you know, own thing to cope with.
It's difficult, yes, very much so, very, very much so.
Now, with the paranormal explorations that we're mentioning, one of the great things I think that is coming out of today's interest is the use of devices which are helping to gather empirical data that can be accumulated and studied. It's true that the teams are different. They focus on different ways, and they use different equipment. But between the huge amount of data that is being collected and the internet, which helps people to be able to connect and bring this data together, I think a lot of scientific evidence is being gathered. At this point, I think that because of, say, the past 5 years to 10 years of exploration, that it cannot be said that there is nothing there. There are too many things being found, seen, recorded, all right, either on film or on tape or with the different devices. Now, interpreting that data is still open, but I think the data clearly shows that there are paranormal things, okay? Now, there is a great divide between those who only use scientific devices and those who are naturally gifted. And one thing that has, let us say, baffled and discouraged me, which I will attribute it to human nature, is that the two sides are insulting each other. Whereas I think that they're just using different equipment, and I would love to see the two combined. I would love to see a seance with gifted psychics that is monitored by scientific devices. I would love to see people using a Ouija board and have them monitored to see what the devices pick up at the same time that the naturals are picking something up. I can agree that the devices might not be tuned to the frequencies to allow them to show what the naturals are finding. But no one is trying it. The people with the devices just say, oh, no, we don't want to play around with the naturals because there's too many fakes and there's no way to support what they're doing. And now there is, say, a revolt among the naturals who are saying, well, you know, the scientific things are just too open to interpretation and they can't pick up what we're doing and they're probably fake and they're picking up radio signals or they're deliberately being fake, you know, and this and that. So I'd like to see that divide healed and people work together. I mean, if there is a common goal, I can accept that there's a rivalry between some of these different groups. But at the same time, if there's a common goal, they should be able to at some point, you know, reach out, shake hands, and work on it, you know?
I know from personal experience that there's a lot of competition between groups. There's a lot of just crazy drama when it comes to group interaction, or you get people that say that they know the truth and all this, and ego, and
yeah.
I suppose that's true with any group, but I've never seen so much drama more than I have in the paranormal community.
Yeah, look at politics. I think it happens with any group. You just don't necessarily see it as much because you're not necessarily as involved with it.
Right.
One of my jokes through the years is the fastest way to want to get distant from a group is to get close to it, okay? I mean, it's all great until you're in it, and then once you're in it, you start seeing the flaws. And expectation of perfection and consistency or whatever is a very disappointing thing because there are flaws and imperfections a little bit of everywhere, and you have to kind of accept that and go on. There are obstacles, there are challenges. Again, you have to accept that and go on. It's like people who get a job, and when they first get in, it's all very exciting and it's new, and they're worried, can I do it right? And I want to do a good job and this and that. And then a week later, okay, now I know everything. And God, those people don't know what they're doing, you know? And then 2 to 3 weeks later, it's like, this place is such a rut. I can't stand being here. 4 weeks later, it's like, oh, my God, I hate this place. But I'm coming in because I'm a saint, you know, and I need the job. And it's a standard routine. Everything can become a rut. And a job is meant to support you. That's what it's for. All right. So the same can be true with paranormal groups or any group. You just have to go from there.
Yeah, it's crazy, and yeah, I totally agree with. I mean, you're going to have that with any group, but I've never seen it as bad.
So Jason is a skeptic, and
yes,
yet
that's
Jason
absolutely correct.
Has experienced shadows.
Sure. I've seen things that I can't explain. I've done paranormal investigations with things I cannot explain. But I'm not going to go as far and say as you know that they're spirits or anything.
No, I would go with other life forms, but you might not even want to go that far. But as a shaman, that's how I view things.
Yeah, I'm not like a total skeptic. I still have an open mind, but I just see a lot of, you know, when you go online and you see, watch YouTube videos, there's so much fakery and people lying about stories. It's hard to decipher what exactly is the truth. You know, when people are using Photoshop or editing software, and it's just, you got to wade through all that.
Apps,
it just
yeah.
leaves.
No,
yeah.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Those ghost apps. Yeah, anybody could download a ghost app on their phone, and then they, you know, and they look fairly decent, where they like superimpose the image of a ghost in a picture, and it just does a disservice to every aspect of the paranormal, because it's
terrible. The humor to me is, if you see a clear picture, you say it's fake because it's clear. If you see a blurry picture, you say it's not good enough, right? So, I mean, what you need.
So I was making a comment earlier today about the Paranormal Horizons. I put a post up, and you know, to our listeners, anything that my Jason or I post is not it doesn't reflect our thoughts or our views. It's just something that, you know, we keep it active and, you know, things to ponder on. It's whether it's fake or real. You guys decide. And when I put a post up about a paranormal picture, one of our people, our special guest that's coming on next, he's a cemetery photographer, and he was mentioning that this particular photo was fake, and how he explained it, how fake it was. It was very clear. It was very interesting. And I do believe him. I mean, personally, I do. You just don't know, you know, what's out there, whether to believe it, whether you hear it or read it or see it or, you know, anything like that. So I think it's up to us as individuals to discern and investigate and ask questions and then maybe decide. But have an open mind at the same time. And they're not discounting that things are not true. But have an open mind, do your research, and be discerning. And that's what I feel.
What you need, first of all, is a first-hand thing that the person vouches for. And second of all, a witness to it. All right? More than one, if possible. Okay? If you are alone and you get a nice photo of something, you can put it up, but... and you can vouch for it, all right? And you can take the flak and stand by it. But if you had one other person who says, well, yeah, I was there when the photo was taken, right? That gives it some strength, okay? What happens is that a picture gets posted, and no one knows where it came from, all right? Or you don't know who the person is, all right? And then it floats around. And all of a sudden, it's just a picture floating around, okay? And so it doesn't have the strength that it could.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. There are a lot of photos like that where they just magically appear. And I actually know
of some people. Well, they've been passed on. They've been forwarded around. And, you know, right now there's millions of people on Facebook, and everything is just... it's a big river or a big ocean out there, and things are just bobbing around. And they lose the evidence or the support that it may have had when it was originally posted. Now, you can attach text to a photo, all right, and so that it becomes part of your JPEG. And that way, even if the photo is copied or forwarded, your text will go with it. Because what often happens is people will post the picture and then they'll write something about it. But the picture will get forward and whatever they wrote about it won't.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's pretty advanced stuff, right?
The phone apps will now let you do that with pictures, where you can put your words right onto the picture.
Wow.
All right. What I do use Photoshop, but what I do is I get my picture, and you can adjust what they call the canvas size, and I will add a half inch below the picture, put in my type, my text, all right, and then save the whole thing as a JPEG, and that way the text is part of the picture. It's part of the JPEG file. and it doesn't get lost. And that's a good tip for people who are wanting to substantiate something. And you should have the date and your name and the where it happened. All right? Something to, I mean, I've checked out stories that have been posted, and if there is text, they'll say it was yesterday. And if I can trace it back to the source, I find out if yesterday was 12 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so put your date and put your name. Make, if you are trying to substantiate something and you wish to stand behind it, you can. And it's when people don't that the image or the evidence becomes questioned.
Hmm.
So
wow.
At any rate, I do think a lot of evidence is being gathered today. And I think that is valuable. I still would like to see more reputable scientists of some sort start collecting and analyzing all this data, right? And then on the other hand, part of me doesn't want anyone official ever near interdimensional or spiritual realms, because we would just cause trouble. It goes into, we don't necessarily have any business messing with the other side. It's fine to communicate, but if you get officials involved with it, they'd be interested in more. So skepticism. Okay.
Earlier you asked Sherry if she had communicated with non-human spirits. When you say non-human spirits, are you talking like demonic entities or angels? Or what exactly were you referring to?
Anything. I would say I have communicated with ETs, gods, and angels, all right, and amongst others. And I've connected with the realm of the many, which is spirits native to the earth, but not human, and not necessarily even of this dimension, per se, just overlapping.
Now, for, you know, there's going to be skeptics out there, and for the skeptics out there, how do you determine whether or not you're actually communicating with an entity versus it's just something that's being fabricated in your mind? Is there a way to discern between that?
At one point, I've kept my notes, first of all, in the Life of Christos series, for anyone who wants to study the data or whatever. There's everything in it. It's my personal journal. But at one point, as a scientific experiment, what I would do would be to ask one particular group to do something and see if there would be a result, to seek to show evidence that that particular group was responding. Okay? It's like if you ask all the men in the audience to shout and then you hear sound, you might believe that there are men in the audience. Okay? If you ask all the women in the audience. So I did much the same, except that at one point I asked that, say, the realm of the gods do a specific thing with weather. Right? And yet, and they would. But I would say it is, and I would say that I refrained from seeking to do it myself, so that any result was strictly attributed to them.
Have you ever received information that you couldn't possibly have known, and has information been revealed to you to where it kind of validates the communication, like a prediction or some sort of factoid you couldn't have known?
Yeah. And it didn't enhance my credibility at all, but it was with some of the interactions with ETs. All right, and this was in the late 1970s. And what I did how to describe this. I believed that I was brought on a spaceship. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that I was shown a view screen. And the view screen showed me rings around Uranus and Neptune. Okay, no joke there. But
yeah.
And at the time, there was said to be rings around Saturn, and that was it. Okay. And it was 20 years later that Voyager, going out the solar system, photographed those planets and rings were discovered. So that was one thing. There was another time when I was doing weather, and there was a storm approaching, and our local radio station had a contest where people could call in and say at what time between, I guess, say 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. Excuse me, I have COPD and I'm dying, so every now and then I'll call. But at any rate, the radio station was between 1 and 6 p.m. What time would the rain arrive? Okay. So I went to try to call in and got a busy signal. I tried again, got a busy signal, and I had to go to a payphone to do this at the time. So I left. And a voice came to me and it said, turn around, go back, make the call, tell them there will be no rain. So I got there, I made the call. The radio station actually answered. I told them there would be no rain, and there wasn't. So technically I would have won, except that I was calling from a payphone, so I didn't have a contact number. But everyone else had guessed the time, and I was the only caller who called in to say none, no rain. So that was another time that was a voice directed me to do that.
Now, when you're connecting with these entities, what are the risks associated with that? There must be risks. I mean, are there risks of being, you know, possessed or
I believe so, but I have had my spirit and mind and being, my energy balanced and good. So I have not felt threatened. I really haven't.
That would be my biggest.
I have felt fear because I have interacted with some beings who had great energy that either it was because I was facing an unknown or because there was a presumption that these things could be dangerous, but I have felt fear, but I have never been harmed. All right.
So with your communications,
I think some people around me who have been less than properly respectful have had some harm come to them. Mostly, possession isn't necessarily outright, not like in the movies. It can be more in the form of suggestion or temptation. And people get misled. And that, to me, is one of the dangers. I think there are things called psychic vampires, and they try to feed on anger and sorrow and misery. And I think that a lot of, you're getting me going on two different trees here. One is that drugs are probably the strongest form of possession we have today. And in Native American tradition, there are plants that are called power plants, and they are viewed as allies. But an ally is anything that can help you, but you must not be caught by your ally. All right? You must not become dependent. Native Americans will stress to you to keep a free spirit, right? To maintain your own dependence, right? And a lot of people don't. But a power plant, all right, is like an oversoul, which is one spirit that has many outlets. And so when you take heroin, it is one spirit. When you take cocaine rock, it is one spirit. And I believe that is the strongest form of stereotypical possession. Yeah.
There definitely is a drug problem. It seems like everybody wants to drown themselves out.
You wouldn't believe how many
drugs.
Okay, a shaman, everybody has a range of perception, okay, and a range of frequency and vibration and rhythm that is individual and custom. But there are general ranges that are true for humans, and a shaman might take drugs in order to alter that range, in order to be able to connect with other beings. Okay? Now, it is not necessary, but it is an option. It can be helpful. And once the connection is established, you do not need to continue using the drug or the crutch. Okay? Now, when people are doing heroin or rock or meth, they are opening connections and they're weakening their mind and allowing other minds or other spirits to influence them.
Can you open that connection without doing drugs? That's a good question. Can you do that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Uh-huh.
I do.
What are the things that can open up without having to rely on synthetic or even herbs or anything?
Well, first of all, it does depend on the individual. It's not necessarily things. Okay, well, breathing and meditation are obvious, all right, because you are consciously manually altering your brain by altering either your heart rhythm or your oxygenation, right? So that's an easy way. But no matter what you do, in a way, you are using a substance of some sort, whether it is a powerful substance, whether it's coffee, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a mild tea, whether it's a helpful herb or spices, right? So, you know, I want to tread carefully because different things can be useful as tools. They say one of the things that sets man apart from the animals is that we use tools, right?
That's definitely true.
And, yeah, I would not advise heavy drug use, okay? I would not advise that because I know how detrimental it can be. But different shaman or Native Americans with the peyote or regular Americans with grass, different people use different things, and some of these things can be helpful if that is your goal. But if it isn't your goal, then it can still be an inadvertent result. It's the same complaint that people have with Ouija boards, is that they can open doorways most anywhere, all right, and then people forget to close the doorways, and they've opened the door and let things come into their world, all right? It's like shining a light in the dark. You're going to get moths, all right? And the same can be said of doing drugs. You're altering your range, you're opening the doors, and the same can be said of scientific devices. You're opening doors, you know, an opening is an opening. It goes in more than one direction.
So even talking on Paranormal Horizons theoretically could open a door, couldn't it, since we're talking about the paranormal?
Actually, the answer to your question is yes.
Great. Now I'm going to be haunted.
You know, No. I am a great believer of the power of will. So I, rather than speaking with certainty, I shield myself with uncertainty, because uncertainty and probability have a greater chance of reflecting truth. So you will not necessarily be haunted, but you could be haunted, you see? So if you say it could be so, that is true. If you say it will be so, that might not be true. It's like looking at a wall that's white and saying the wall is green. That's a false statement. But if you say, I believe the wall could be green, that could be true, because it's possible that you might actually believe it could be green, right? So you can...
brain is melting right now.
Unfortunately, I am a writer. And because I have taken a path as Christos, I've had to watch my words so very carefully, all right? I have. So sometimes I try to be playful or funny with people when they use words. And I was a typesetter for a long time, too, all right? And people would tell me what they wanted, and they didn't know that the very thing they said to me could be interpreted in five different ways, you know, and I had to get it right, you know? So I'd come back to them with more questions, and they'd be looking at me like, well, didn't you understand what I said? Didn't you understand what you said, you know?
Yeah, that's why, in a way, I don't like text, you know, especially if you have something very important to deal with, or, you know, I don't do readings over chat or text, because it's so impersonable, and, you know, there's also the privacy, too, because once you write it out, you know, it becomes public. But I feel that when you write things in text, it can be misinterpreted what people say. It's almost like hidden agendas, you know, kind of, you don't know what really can be going on, you know, besides what they're saying. So that's why I'm old fashioned. I like to hear either, you know, a voice, if, you know, I like to hear somebody call me, or just, you know, look at me face to face or something. So I don't know. Maybe
Do you get a lot of connection just from voice?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do, too, even with the connection with it's online, if I see, you know, the energy with that. But, yes, definitely, it speaks a lot to me. I get a feeling, and I see images and things like that. But I normally, like I said, I don't do that unless I want to open that door. I find that if I live like that all the time, I don't respect other people's privacy, for number one. And number two, I don't want to live my life, you know, looking like I see dead people and I see, you know, I'm downloading so much. I want to enjoy what's here and now, present. That's the key for me, unless I'm ready to go over to the other side.
Do you think most mediums operate as you do, or are there variations?
I think there are variations. I can only speak for myself, but I think there's variations, and some people get their messages from angels, which I know their angels are existent, but I don't connect with angels. My information, some people go in and they have connections with their spirit guides. They even know their name. That's just not me. I'm the kind of person, I want to cut all that stuff out and go directly to your creator, God. You know, the spirit, great spirit. That's just me. I download. Boom. That's it. So, you know, I think that everybody is different. And I'm not saying that's wrong, right, or anything.
No, I think they are, too. I think they are, too. I think we have different ranges of connections.
Exactly.
Well, while I'm looking at the clock here, and it looks like we only have a few minutes left, if somebody wants to read your book, How would they go about finding it?
Do a search for Walt, which is J-U-A-L-T, on Google or Amazon or Walmart or any of the places. And The Thought of Christos is a book that tries to teach people how to cope with internal and external negativity in positive ways and how to seek to develop your own particular psychic abilities, whatever that may be. So I like to think it's helpful.
I've said it before. I've kind of closed myself off to that. I think I'm completely happy being a skeptic. I think that's working for me. But I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show. And as always, it's always informative. And thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's always great to connect with both of you. And
it's
happy birthday, Monique.
I get a feeling that you've been around, and it's you're an old soul. Definitely, you've been around, and your consciousness has expanded so much that you can see different aspects of a situation, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much for your kindness. I appreciate that. I do.
I just see it. That's what I see. It's wonderful. You have so much to add to this world. Your time is not over with yet.
No, but a lot of what I've done is for the next 1,000 years. Really, rather than for today, it's for tomorrow.
Well, you've got some time yet. You're not over with yet. But we'll be in touch. Thank you so much for just being there for us and just sharing what you have, and I just really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Walt. All right,
Yay!
Sherry, what do we got? What do we got rolling next Sunday?
Ooh, let me check it out. It's like it's speeding up really fast. Our next guest is James Cloud. He is an exorcist, and he's going to talk about attachments, demonic attachments, spiritual attachments. It's going to be quite interesting. We welcome him for the first time, and we look forward to having James Cloud. He is part of the paranormal team, and he's just very, very well-versed and veteran in what he does, and I'm really excited to have him for next Sunday.
Outstanding. Well, unless you have anything else, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, and we'll see everybody next Sunday at 8 p.m. West Coast time to talk about attachments. Do you have anything else, Sherry?
No, and talk about our radio show, our FM syndicated radio shows, Jason. Don't forget that.
Absolutely. I just want to remind everybody out there that this show is rebroadcast on 106.5 KITC FM and 107.1 KNCP, and those stations are in Central Oregon. So we're very honored to have our show played out there, and very exciting stuff.
Well, so we want to thank them, both radio stations, for having us on their show. And I know there's a lot of people that listen to the radio show. And we'd be happy to get any feedback on any current shows that we need, any current subjects that we need to cover on Paranormal Horizons, and especially you guys from Blog Talk. So thank you for your support.
All righty. Well, I hope everybody has a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Peace, everybody.